Stu, last podcast of the year.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. We could both be dead in a horrible skiing accident where we bump into each other at the top of the hill and then eaten by mountain lions. It could happen.
Yeah, neither of us are athletic enough to actually be skiing.
Right. But if we are anywhere where there's mountain lions, we are.
Oh, yeah.
We're absolutely.
Meal number one. It's Thanksgiving, boys and girls.
It's so tender, the meat. It's like it's never been worked out at all. I don't think this meat has ever walked, and it's marbled. All of a sudden, very effeminate cats eating us. Our program today has a little bit of everything in it. I think you're really going to like it, including the top three moments as voted by you in downloads of the year for our program. Anyway, it's just a great last message of 2023. So, brought to you by Relief Factor. It was a year ago, really this week. It might have even been on this day. I was going on vacation and going up to my ranch, and I was in so much pain, and I had my hands all wrapped, and it was excruciating. And I said to my wife, honey, when I get back, I think I'm going to have to resign. I just don't think I can do this. And she said, please try Relief Factor. And I didn't believe that it would help. And I said, we've done everything. I've gone to the Mayo Clinic. I've gone to Columbia University, to NYU. I've gone to all of these hospitals. And no one can give me anything or do anything that makes it better. Try it, please. I did. And I'm here today because of Relief Factor. $19.95 comes with Relief Factor's Feel Better or Your Money Back. Doesn't work for everybody. About 70% of the people who try it go on to order more. I'm one of them. ReliefFactor.com, 800, the number 4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Pick with you.
Okay, well, it's the last day of the year to do it for me.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You advised me
yes
to watch a movie on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It was called leave the world behind. Apparently the number one movie
in 89 countries.
In 89 countries.
Yeah. Now, I didn't ask you to, because I thought, oh, you're going to enjoy it. I thought you would pick things out of it that you'd
right.
be like, yeah,
like, okay, here you go, like, this is something you some lesson you take. Now, the thing that's been promoted widely on the conservative side of this,
the racist thing,
is there's this racist thing. There's one scene in the movie.
Two.
That I've seen promoted was a scene where a young African-American woman says you shouldn't trust white people.
Correct.
And this has been tied to the fact that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama are executive producers or producers of this movie.
Correct. It's an anti-racist theme that runs through it. But that's not my problem with this movie.
Mm, yeah, right. And that's kind of how you sold it to me. And and I did watch it last night.
Yeah.
And can I just tell you, I at the end of it, felt like I had wasted 2.5 hours of my life that I will never, ever get back.
Hmm.
It was, the entire time felt like it could be a good movie.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then at the end of the movie, which I will do my best not to spoil.
Yeah.
But
a little disappointing.
A little?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was, I actually like swore against your name.
Why?
Lying in bed with my wife, and I said, that mother... this jerk made me... I actually was wondering, it crossed my mind whether it was a prank. That you were like, you gotta watch this. And then I watched it, and then it ended like that. It was so terrible. And I was like, did he just screw me out of 2.5 hours intentionally?
Well, first of all, the only one I recommended, because I thought you would enjoy, was Godzilla.
Right.
And we
and
went to
like
Godzilla,
yeah.
And you liked
it. I did like it, yes.
This one I just wanted you to watch for work.
Right, I know you did say that.
Yeah.
It was for work.
Right.
But I kind of thought that you... I thought it was going to be a good movie.
That no. That was an extra bonus for me, that you would be watching it would be pissed off. No, so what did you get out of this movie? Why do you think... What is my problem with this movie? Because it's not the white thing. I'm so tired of it.
The white thing, the white thing, just to address it, the woman who's placed the daughter, she is a black woman who is, I would say, anti-white.
Yeah, right. But Julia Roberts
is a racist too.
Yeah, Julia Roberts. This is the first movie I've ever seen her where she's absolutely unlikable.
Yeah,
unlikable from the beginning. I hate people.
Yeah, she was unlikable awful. From the very beginning. Yeah. And she is pretty much a racist in the movie.
Yeah,
at least at times. She's not.
I think pretty much the whole time. I mean, when she
comes around,
they open up the door, and you know, they're renting. Julia Roberts' family is renting this house, and it's on Long Island. It's very expensive. And then you see a Bentley behind this couple. They ring the doorbell in the middle of the night, and it's a black man in a tuxedo, and his black daughter also dressed to the nines in the Bentley. And they say, yes, what? And, you know, like, get the baseball bat. And they go to the door and they said, well, we've had a problem and this is our house. And we were wondering if we could stay in the guest house. And Julia Roberts is like, this is your house?
Right. Like, how could a black person own a home like this?
I mean, it's so insulting. Bad.
So like, insulting. The black-white thing was there, and it was almost like, it struck me as a way of like, they're almost trying to do a both sides thing.
Yeah.
Even though it was also very just straight out anti-racist.
Okay.
So, but that was part of it.
It is part of it. But here are the things that I want you to really hear. There's two clips that I want you to hear. Mm-hmm. First of all, clip one from yesterday, Leave the World Behind. I have a friend in a cabal.
Why did you really come here? And don't tell me it's because of your knee.
That wasn't a lie. I did have a knee surgery. Twisted it up pretty bad playing ball down at the Y.
But it's not why you came here.
Why I came here involves something that happened to me a few years back. One of my clients invited me and my wife to a private event. My client, I won't say his name, but you'd recognize it, though.
Is he a celebrity?
Oh, no, nothing like that. But in the business world, he's one of the biggest out there. He deals mostly in defense contracting. I'm talking hush-hush, top-secret money from the Pentagon, perhaps the most powerful person I've ever had a meal with. Anyway, we're at this soiree at his house. It's getting late. My wife, she wants to go. But he and I are just having a blast, and he doesn't want the night to end. After a few more glares, my wife agrees to take a cab, and I'll come home after.
I bet she was real happy about that.
Mm-hmm. So we're having a few more drinks, getting really sauced, and at one point, I don't think he could stand, and I was pretty wobbly myself.
I wouldn't know anything about that, sir.
So he takes me to his study, smoke a few cigars, and we're sort of flying high, laughing at almost everything. Eventually, he starts in how much he likes me and how he wishes he could invite me on this trip he's about to go on.
What kind of trip? Where's he going?
That's exactly what I asked. And he turns to me, a serious face, and he says, oh, you know, just my annual meeting with the rest of the evil cabal that runs the world. He was the kind of guy that was always known for jokes like that. Again, if I told you his name, you'd understand.
Well, I just have to take your word for it. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'm gonna top off my plate.
Then, yesterday before the symphony, my friend calls me up. No scheduled appointment like he usually does, just calls me out of the blue and wants me to move around some of his money. And we're talking some big numbers, even for him. And as we're getting off the phone, I asked if he wanted to grab a drink. He tells me he's going away for a while. I joke back to him. Well, yeah, you hanging with your evil cabal this weekend? Thought that was only during the winter solstice. And he doesn't laugh. And he always laughs, even with bad jokes. he said was, take care of yourself. Almost as if he felt sorry for me. Ever since, I haven't been able to get it out of my head.
Okay, stop. He goes on to say that there is a plan that you turn people against each other. You have, you know, either inside country forces, outside the country forces. You turn people against each other. It's the easiest way to collapse a country. You create these divisions. Then you start hitting them with cyber attacks, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't know who to trust. And they do the job for the foreign country or the people that are trying to overthrow the country from within. They do it. They don't have to do anything because the people do it themselves. Then one more clip. So that's the premise that this is coming. All right. Next clip, short one, two.
This ends is if you get back in your vehicle and drive away now.
Drive away to what? All the roads are blocked. We're in the middle of God knows where. There's no one else around.
I have no idea what I am supposed to do right now. I can barely do anything without my cell phone and my GPS. I am a useless man. But my son is sick.
Stop. I'm without GPS and my cell phone. And this is a theme throughout. All of these people, remember, this is Barack Obama. All of these people are worthless. They have no, I mean, you're screaming at the television several times going, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Okay. But over and over again, I'm useless without my cell phone. I don't know what to do. I don't have GPS. I don't have an ATM. The stores are closed. I don't have a gun. All the way through. Now, what message is being sent there? Because I hope America gets that. Are you a worthless man? I think most of us are. Most of us are. What are you doing to correct that? Because it will be your responsibility. Those who wait around for the government to show up, good luck with that. Those who think we're all just going to come together and nobody's coming in, you've got 72 hours if something happens. 72 hours to get to safety. 72. After that, the world breaks down. Don't believe me? Look at Katrina. Track that. Go back and look at the timeline of that. And then the government comes in and they say, everybody go here. Don't go there. Don't go there. It will be a disaster. You don't believe me? Look at the Superdome. Don't be a worthless person. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. All right, we have Steve Baker on the phone, Blaze Media investigative journalist who has been looking into the January 6th debacle and has made massive headway. And it's my understanding that Steve and the team were up in Washington here in the last couple of weeks. I think some of them just got back yesterday. Spent a lot of time with the January 6th footage, full access now because of Steve. Some new stories are coming. But what a surprise, Steve. You were notified by the U.S. Department of Justice.
Yes, good morning.
Hey.
that was a great good morning I had yesterday.
I bet.
We're actually here right now. I'm actually talking to you from the secure video room in one of the congressional office buildings in D.C. We've got our Blaze guys here right now working on the consoles, and we've been here all week. So we're not going to stop working. I'm not going to quit doing what I'm doing, and we're just going to move forward regardless of what they throw at us. But
I want to hear what you are finding, if you can give us any kind of hint on what's next coming our way. But tell me, what are you being charged with now?
Well, they notified my attorney yesterday morning that I needed to self-present or self-surrender myself in Raleigh, North Carolina on Tuesday or Wednesday. So we're going to arrange for that to happen on Tuesday. When we asked what the actual charges were going to be, we were told by the FBI agent that he, quote unquote, didn't know and that he wouldn't know until the magistrate signed off on the warrant. Now, they are telling us that I'm going to just be processed and then released on my own recognizance, that I will not be detained, I'll not be held overnight, and that then, of course, I will be subject to whatever the magistrate decides to put on me. I don't know whether that will include a surrendering of my devices, because, again, we haven't seen the warrant. I don't know if that's going to include a surrendering of my weapons. I don't know if that's going to include any gag orders of any types. I don't know if that's going to include restrictions that will prevent me from traveling to D.C., because that's what usually happens with January 6th defendants. One of the first things that they do is they prevent travel to D.C.
What a surprise, Steve. What a surprise.
Yes,
have you downloaded to the rest of the team so the work can continue? Have you downloaded what you know and what you're looking for, and so the rest of the team can continue if you can't go in?
We have multiple dead man switches.
Okay, good.
There's your answer for that.
And by the way, dead man switch, we know Steve, he's not suicidal at all.
That's right.
Not at all. And apparently can't hang himself with paper sheets. So he's got that going for him. Please keep us informed. You have to surrender on Tuesday. I know the Blaze will have stories next week on this. Is there any doubt in your mind? Because you were contacted by the Justice Department, what, about 6 months after January 6th? Because you were there.
That's correct. Yeah, they contacted me in July of 21. I did my first or my only FBI interview in August of 21. We were notified by the Department of Justice a month later, the week before Thanksgiving, in November of 21. We were told that I would be charged within the week at that time. And then they dropped off the map, and we didn't hear from them until 20 months later, which was August of this year, when I got a grand jury subpoena for all of my January 6th videos.
And what does your attorney think this is that was about?
Well, that was interesting, because grand juries are not convened for misdemeanor charges. They're convened only for felony investigations. Now, that doesn't mean, because we don't know and they won't tell us anything, that maybe they just wanted my videos for somebody else's investigation. Or maybe it was applicable to what they were looking at for me. And then there's no assurance that even though there was a grand jury looking at me or the videos, that they will apply a felony account. Well, look, we can assure the world right now, because actually one of our guys right here is harvesting every second of me in the Capitol right now.
Good.
We're going to show the world in advance, long before this thing ever goes to trial or any such nonsense, that obviously at any point, any time when I was on campus, there was never any violence, never any property damage. There was never any untoward behavior. I didn't wear Trump gear. I didn't parade. I wasn't carrying a flag.
You didn't stand on a bench, did you? God forbid.
I did do that.
Oh,
yep.
Boy.
There is a federal law against that.
But, I know there is.
So I may have to, I may have to plead down to bench standing. But
you did that not as a protester, as a journalist, to get a bird's eye view, right?
Yes, that's exactly what I did. I got up and away from the crowd and above the crowd so I could record what was going on in the room. And that was in the crypt below the rotunda where I did that. And so it's going to be an interesting presentation well in advance of whatever the government is putting together, because we'll be able to lay it out and show side by side that there were 60 other journalists that we are aware of that traveled through the same breached doors. And of course, I didn't arrive till after several hundred people were already in the Capitol. But there were 60 other journalists, many of those who in fact went through those doors long before I did, or were at the very initial breach, that have never been charged. It just really all comes down to, Glenn, who they were submitting their stories and their videos to at the time. And obviously, whatever their narrative was, if the headline of their story was, as like the New Yorker story with Luke Mogelson, among the insurrectionists, well, then he probably got a get out of jail free card for that headline.
Well, but wait a minute. You had your video with HBO. They're not necessarily a flag waver of the right.
Yeah, they licensed my videos. New York Times licensed my videos, as did many other news agencies around the world. But that was through my agency.
Okay, so can I ask you just a couple of frank questions. Because we just really got to know each other recently. And mm-hmm. you know, are you a hardened, you know, Nazi lover that is, you know, I don't know, burning crosses
usually
at night?
You usually lead conversations with this question. We hadn't gotten to our
are you a member of the Nazi party part of our of our friendship yet, but
Glenn, I usually get dinner and a couple drinks before I get asked questions like that. absolutely not. I am, if you analyze my politics, I am what I refer to as a pragmatic libertarian, and I have never had any associations with any militias, any three percenters, any Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, or otherwise, and I have basically kept to myself and kept my musical career for most of my life as a trumpet player and a singer, and my journalism was my side hustle, as they say, for 20-25 years, and that was accelerated when COVID came to town and I was not allowed to work in the music business for a year and a half. So I moved my journalism and my investigative research into the captain's chair of my life, and then January 6th happened, and so that became a primary focus of what I've been working on.
Well, we are obviously going to be following your story, and every indication is that exactly what you've said, and as you say, our team is there looking at all the video footage of you right now to make sure that we have the story and can get it out, but also all of the other things that you're looking into. Can you give us a sneak peek on anything else that you're working on for January 6th?
Yeah, I can tell you that we are continuing our stories on the Capitol Police. There's a real focus there. In fact, I don't have a second's worth of hesitation to tell you that the story that we came out with last Thursday, Friday, that directly showed Capitol Police cover up and corruption at the highest level probably triggered this action from the DOJ. And I don't mind
go over that story for anybody who didn't see it.
Yeah, the story was that a particular police officer who we have been covering issued a anonymous letter on Capitol Police letterhead back in May of 21. It was highly partisan, highly political, major violation of the Hatch Act, major violation of the Capitol Police rules and regulations for their officers. And he was prompted to write this letter. It was a political screed against the Republicans that were opposed to Nancy Pelosi's January 6th Select Committee. And as a result of a prompting he got from Representative Raskin, of all people, that was a situation where he took Raskin's prompting and went and created this letter and then also solicited help from the Capitol press pool. And then he had actually some female reporters in the press pool assist him in crafting this anonymous letter. And when this was released on May 19th and May 20th, it was discovered the next day, because this cop's not very bright, he used his Capitol Police email and he used Capitol Police printers to print off hard copies. And so he was brought in and his investigation began the next day. And we revealed that not only did he initially lie about the action that he had taken using Capitol Police resources and time to craft a highly partisan political anonymous letter misrepresenting the department, that this was what would be called a terminable offense. He should have been fired on the spot. There was a problem with that, though, Glenn. We're talking about Harry Dunn, the hero of January 6th, as the media has put forth. So rather than taking disciplinary action against him, the Capitol Police spiked that report. They let him off with what they call a 534 warning, which means that was just a warning, just a slap on the wrist. Don't do that again, Harry. And he got by with it. So rather than being a terminable event, he was not disciplined at all, and therefore was allowed to testify in those Oath Keeper trials. And of course, we know where that goes from there. So you see the connectivity there.
Okay, we're talking. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. No, finish up.
Just to finish that up. One of the things that we've been able to do, I've been able through sources over the last couple of years, is I do have and have been able to capture some internal communications between Oathkeeper leadership, and we know that they are livid over. In fact, they on Friday's report, when I released the names involved, Harry Dunn, Representative Jamie Raskin, Whitney Wild from CNN, who participated in this anonymous letter. When I put all this together and published that, the chief counsel for the Capitol Police actually called me that Twitter guy, Steve Baker, and for releasing this information. And so we're seeing, we're learning, we're knowing about these kinds of things that are happening, and we know that they're upset. And his name is Tad, I think it's DiBiase or the Bias or something like that. And he's the chief counsel. He's a former federal prosecutor, former assistant U.S. attorney, and he works with the Department of Justice on these cases related to January 6th. And so we're pretty sure we don't have to stretch this too far to imagine that this is probably what triggered this action against me after 2.5 years.
Steve Baker, investigative journalist, Blaze Media contributor, and now famously that Twitter guy. Thank you for everything. Steve, we're going to be following this obviously very closely, and good luck. Good luck. Stay safe, please.
Will do. Thank you, Glenn.
Got it.
You're listening to the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
We have so many cuts from the top 10 moments from last year, and we've got way late today, but I want to put them together for you to be able to watch and be able to listen to, because it tells us a little something about us and what we're really following. Kind of unlike Chris Cuomo. Did you see that? What's his name? Lemon.
Don Lemon?
Don Lemon. He's like, I'm listening to Ben Shapiro now. Yeah. Are you, Don? Are you really? And Chris Cuomo, he just did something on October 7th, on the footage on October 7th. Do we have that? That's cut two. This is Chris Cuomo on his show talking about, on his News Nation show, recapping what he saw on a private screening of October 7th footage. And
I understand the sensitivity of the families. I understand the concern that if you don't want to believe that October 7th happened, well, then it doesn't matter what you see. But I do believe for many, that there's an aspect of this that I don't think we appreciate. I realized something that I had missed before. Okay? It took me immediately and deeply into a past trauma. The exact feeling that I had when I learned why 9/11 happened. Terrorists targeted the Twin Towers and Washington, D.C. to take out the great symbols that represent America. The method was not madness. They were sane. They were just evil. But the method was a message. Their unholy efforts triggered what Americans feared most. Terrorists robbing us of who and what we are about at home. So, if an enemy wanted to make sure that Israel would come for them, the message would be, we're going to take children, women, innocents, and more, tie them up, and burn them alive, just like the Holocaust. The ultimate fear of what the world can bring the Jews' way. When a decision is made that Jews are less than human and treated that way in words and deeds, I now know that is exactly the message Hamas sent on purpose.
Okay, stop. You have a mug, Stu. Chris Cuomo is an awful.
Andrew Cuomo is awful. Chris Cuomo is worse.
Okay,
both.
Yes, right.
Dot
okay,
com.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he's, look, he's come a long way from show me in the Constitution where it says you have to be peaceful.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
So was that CNN's effect on him? I was out of a job and I better change my point of view. What is this?
I think the fundamental defining characteristic of Chris Cuomo is not that he was ever liberal. It's that he wants a lot of attention. So I think that
would you ever do a show with him? I would love to watch an episode of you doing kind of like I do with my sit downs where you were not saying, you know, hey, I'm your buddy, but you just asking the tough questions about all the things because you have. You wrote the book on his bad side.
I'd like to never think of him again. Would honestly be my preference, but we actually did invite him on the show at one point, and he, of course, you know, didn't want to come on. This is years ago now.
Yeah,
but
might be different now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a desperation involved. But I think that's kind of what he is. Like he's there's a Geraldo in him.
Yes,
you know what I mean. He just wants everyone to be talking about him. Yeah. He wants to be the center of attention. So. I think there's you see this interview he did with the Tourette's influencer?
Oh, no, he didn't.
Yeah. Did you see it? You didn't see this?
On him, with him?
Yeah.
Is she the blonde?
I think she's blonde, yeah.
I follow her. I've wanted to reach out, and I thought, I don't want to be a circus show. So, of course, Chris did. But I love her. I love her.
Well, that was not Chris's take. Chris, I think, again, I don't know the whole back. I don't watch Chris's show, to be fair. But I did see this clip, and he seems to refer to it in a clip where he thought she was an actress or something. Geez, like, she thought she was faking it.
You know, you see what you sometimes see in people what you are.
I didn't think of that.
Do you have the clip?
You should do the interview with him.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, here's the clip. This is from his show on News Nation.
What do you want people to learn?
I want people to learn that Tourette's is a neurological involuntary motor and vocal disorder. Fuck off, fuck off, fuck off. I don't tick 24/7, and there's a lot of little baby wings. Fuck off, fuck you, Chris. There's a lot of things that people don't understand. Like,
look at him, he's laughing.
People think that cussing is with everyone who has Tourette syndrome, but it's only in 10% of people with Tourette's.
And how has it been as you've gotten more famous? Do you believe that people are understanding better, or are they dopes like me who think you're acting?
God, I say it's stop.
I can't watch it.
He's the worst.
He's the worst.
What's the point of doing an interview with a guy like that? Honestly,
The first video I saw about 2 minutes into it, because I saw it and I thought, if she is faking this, this is one of the worst things I've ever seen. Mm. And you get about a minute and a half and you're like, oh no, this is real. And she is so sweet. Her mom and dad are so great. Her brother is amazing. And she is so brave to go online and make these videos because, you know, Chris Cuomo's of the world. But I'm glad he's changed his mind on her. She gives me hope. I follow a bunch of people that have really, in some ways, the average person would go, they have no reason to have any hope. And they're just the bravest people I've ever seen out there.
That's
and they're,
great.
Have you seen the guy who is handicapped, who is preaching, and he says, hey, it's time to pray. I want to pray for you now.
I'm not. No.
Oh, he is great, too. There's... look this holiday season for people that are I follow some of them, so you can get some of them from my Instagram, but I just like, at the end of the day, if I've had a bad day, I'll go on Instagram and I'll just watch inspirational things, you know, weed out all the other crap, just watch some inspirational things. There are some people that will just make you feel so good because they're so good, and I think she's one of them. I just love her.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm bummed I didn't reach out for an interview for her because.
Yeah, he didn't edit it. By the way, we edited the clips, so he let all the F-bombs go because, of course, you know, again, it's about his attention.
Yeah, I know, but I think I might do that too because it's so raw. You see what I watch, and I think she has everything going for her. Everything going for, except living in a world that is like, okay, freak, I can't deal with that. You know what I mean?
And it's hard. Look, it's hard. It's hard for everybody.
Oh,
it's obviously really hard for her. But like at one point you mentioned like he looks like he's kind of like smiling, almost like smirking at her comments. And it's like, I don't know what else do you do in that moment? It's like someone's saying something to you that's completely inappropriate. You know, you almost have to acknowledge to the audience. Like, I know this is a little bit different. Like, you almost have to.
So Richard Paul Evans, he has Tourette's. Mm-hmm. And
he's had a million interviews with us, but never sounded like that.
Well, because that's not the way it manifested right. him. He said his biggest problem is he wants to spit in the face of famous people. And I have to remind him all the time, I'm not that famous. but he said to me one time we were in an interview and I said, are you all right? You know, he was talking about something. He seemed to get a little lost or something. I said, are you all right? And he said, I cannot tell you how much strength it is taking not to spit in your face. And I said, brother, half the country would cheer for you.
Yeah. And have shared that exact thought.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. That's the least. The least of what they thought. That's the bottom rung of that ladder.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored the bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.